7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Oh, we're going to have a hot time here today, as we did at church this past weekend. We had a wonderful service. The sermon is out of the book of Galatians, where we've been here at the church. We're in chapter 5. We're looking at the works of the flesh, but more importantly, we're looking at the positive fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going to be concentrating on. We're going to go through all of this text, the rest of chapter 5, starting today, and we'll wrap this up tomorrow. If you'd like to see the video of it, you can download the app for Island Community Church, FL. You can go to the Facebook page, Island Community Church. You'll see it on there. You can support this ministry if you enjoy this radio program by either downloading the app, WGOD Radio. There's a variety of ways to help ensure and help keep this radio program on the air, because we pay to be on the radio here. Even though I'm an employee of the station, we pay, we put our money where our mouth is. We believe in God taking this and the power of God, and we believe spreading the gospel is going to cost us something. We believe that, and I believe that as well. Okay, let's get into the Word now. Again, this will play today and tomorrow. This is called The Fruits of the Spirit. We are in Galatians chapter 5. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful day. Okay, here we go. We've got 3 weeks left in this wonderful study here in the book of Galatians. Okay, Danny. We're going to wrap up chapter 5 here this morning. Next week will be not deceived. God is not mocked. And indeed, he is mocked. He's mocked all the time out here today. That's what we're going to look at next week. Paul says he's not mocked. I say he is mocked. What gives? Something's going to give. Then the last week, I have a title that, The Rest of the Story. Paul Harvey, right? Here today, another famous text from chapter 5, The Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to consider you today as a tree. A Christian tree. Think of all the trees out there. Some you've seen, some you have not seen. Genesis and Revelation talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Also, both books talk about another tree, the tree of life. Those you haven't seen. Praise God, I believe that everyone will at some time or another. And naturally, we have common ordinary trees, fruit trees, which are supposed to produce fruit. Now, the Lord Jesus takes notice when a particular tree or vine does not produce. Here's what he says. John 15:1, he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. All right, in other words, stop doing that, he'll say. You see, that's when a Christian's got too much on their plate. When they're doing too many things in Jesus' name, God gets out his prunes and he'll chop off all those branches in you that is not what he would have you to do. In other words, like Jesus said to the church, strengthen the things that remain. There's strength in what you are doing.
Or else maybe he wants you to concentrate on a few things and strengthen those. Do a few things well instead of doing 90 things. I don't plant trees, but I think a tree with too many limbs on it makes lousy fruit. Am I right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And, see, not only the ones that don't bear fruit, but even the ones that do. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, or ego eimi ho ampelos, he said in Greek. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So that's even if you're plugged into the wrong source other than Jesus Christ, that's what happens to you. If you're getting your power, if your power source is anyone other than Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen to you. Even if the voltage is correct, that's what's going to happen. If you're plugged into anyone other than him, what you do is going to wither. What's that song? Only what's done for Christ will last. Right? When all in life is done and past, only what's done for Christ will last. If you are not plugged into the true source of life, you will wither away and die of gangrene. And this, Luke 13:6, he spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come here looking for fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why is it wasting my ground? And he answered and said to him, sir, leave it alone. Just one more year until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. So again, I ask, what's your source today? What's growing off you today? What is growing off you today? Crab apples? Or a real fruit? Or has dry rot set in, like a Florida orange tree? For those that aren't from around here, they ended up cutting down. Every orange tree that I know of has been cut down because of a rot that destroyed them. So it is with the Christian that's not plugged in to the vine. So since a Christian is a tree, what kind of fruit does he produce? That's what I want to look at here today. We're going to build our way up there this morning. Now, Paul left off talking about freedom. Freedom from being under the curse of the law in order to be right with God. Let's pick it up. We're in Galatians chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 13. I'm going to read this verse out of the NIV. The old NIV. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command.
love your neighbor as yourself.
What a profound statement that is from our former Pharisee and rules keeper. He said the entire law is fulfilled in one thing, keeping one commandment. You guys can do that, right? Can you guys keep just one rule? One, love your neighbor like you love your mask-wearing, vaccine-receiving self. That's a whole lot of love. Man gets on an airplane with over 300 passengers on it, knowingly having the deadly virus Ebola, to fly to the United States to receive treatment. Now that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. That you'd willingly get on a plane knowing that you have that and not giving a rip about anyone else but yourself. That's the kind of love we are to have for somebody else. Keep that commandment and you'll be okay. And you will keep it. Not because it's written on a tablet somewhere. You'll keep it because you got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. That's good news. You'll keep it anyway. Because greater is He that is inside of you. It's your good pleasure to keep it. However, it's not always that easy because you have an enemy, in case you have not noticed. You've got this little problem going on that you have to deal with. The problem is the old you has not left town. As a matter of fact, it's never leaving town. Reminds me of the old Saturday Night Live skit, The Thing That Wouldn't Leave. That's you. Your sin nature. You've got an enemy. Your old nature lives rent-free inside of you. God told Cain way back in Genesis chapter 4, all those years ago, he said to him, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is, just like the old Uncle Sam poster, sticks out that bony finger and says, I want you. That is sin in your life. It doesn't go away. When you get baptized or become a Christian, sin doesn't go away. You've got to master it, but it doesn't go away. And that battle continues to this very day. Now, starting in verse 16, Paul's going to give you the answer to the problem first, then he's going to explain what the problem is second. Verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, he wrote that as a Christian. He's writing as a Christian to Christians. And he's telling you how to win this battle over the evil in you that wants you to go out here and do evil. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, we come across this command from time to time to walk. 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Way back in the beginning, we read about a saint named Enoch. And the Bible tells us Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God translated him. This morning, getting ready for this, I remember what God said to Abraham back in Genesis 17. He said, walk before me and be blameless. Good things happen to us, right? From either being transported into heaven like Captain Kirk or Enoch was. Enoch walked with God and he said, beam me up, Scotty. And up he went. Man, oh man, doesn't that sound cool?
I would love God to beam me up.
But he's not going to beam me up if I'm out here messing around. He's going to beam me up in his house. We're meditating on him, reading his word, singing his songs. If I'm sick and I can't come to church, watching on the video. Or if I go to another church but I can't get enough, I'm watching later on. Beam me up, Scotty. That's what this word for translate literally means. To be transported from one place to another. Wow, is that guy way ahead of his time? Then he says, if you do that, that is walk in the Spirit, which only means, by the way, letting the Holy Spirit live in you and let him guide you in life and allowing him to live the Spirit-filled life through you. If you do that, then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Okay, now on to this war here of every Christian who ever lived other than the Son of God. And by the way, though Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, the Bible tells us Jesus does not have a sin nature like we do. He was tempted to sin, but that's about the same as dangling broccoli in front of me, in front of my eyes, and saying, all this will I give you. Guess what? You can't tempt me with broccoli. It doesn't work. Tempting me with broccoli is the same as tempting Jesus Christ with sin. You can't do it. All the broccoli in the world can't tempt me to eat it. Likewise, all the sin in the world can't tempt Jesus to sin. You see, you can tempt me with lasagna because I've got the lasagna nature on the inside of me. I smell it everywhere I go. I smell lasagna. Maybe it's a bacon cheeseburger. Maybe, I got this one yesterday. It's a goatskin smelly good Bible. I can't get enough. I've got 400 and counting. Now, you can tempt me with one of these. All these will I give you, Paul. If you get up here every Sunday morning and preach the word, and I say, count me in. Count me in. And the Bibles keep flowing, and I keep preaching. But he ain't tempting me with broccoli. And you're not tempting Jesus with sin. Because he can't sin. Because he's not like you and me. Jesus hasn't been delivered. You and I have been. Verse 17. More of this war. Godzilla against Mothra. Frankenstein against the Wolfman. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another, just like showing the cross to Count Dracula. These things are contrary to one another, so that, the King James says now, so that you cannot do. Not that you might not do, or not that you're going to have a hard time with. It says you cannot do the things that you want to do. You cannot do the things that you want to do if you walk in the flesh and not in the spirit. You can't do it. Not that you're going to have a hard time with it. You can't do it. Can't be done. You can't go out and cheat on your wife and get God to bless you. It doesn't work. Neither can you pray to God if you're out cheating on your wife, because he doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. You got to be walking with him. You got to be walking with him. You cannot do the things that you wish. That means, too, while you're walking in sin, you cannot do the right thing. You just can't do it. You cannot do the things that you wish. while you're living and walking in that. You gotta take a shower, take a bath, get cleaned up, change your clothes, start going in the other direction. Leave that junk behind. Start going in the other way. Then you come on your knees down here and pray. And the sky's the limit. I've heard testimonies all morning in here of all that God has done for them. The flesh lusts against the spirit. The spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. But he's not done. Verse 18 starts with a but. Here's your life preserver. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. So, if you're led by the flesh, then you are under the law. The law is still alive and enforced today, the Jewish people. Or to anyone that doesn't understand and realize that they've been set free from that. Chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are free from living under the law, Paul's teaching us. You see, trying to keep rules and commandments to be right with God is being led by your flesh to see what you can do. Because Jesus did everything. He gets the praise and he gets the glory. All right, Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Is that you, by the way? Are you seeking him that way here today? You know, I get you guys for 1 hour out of 168. By golly, I'm going to do everything I can to lift you guys up today so that you walk out of these doors overflowing. Come on, guys, we're not at a funeral. Good Lord, what's the matter in here today? Must we take inventory here? Eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, that which God has prepared for those that love him. Amen. That's better. We can stop at one now. Now, verse 19, we get a list of the embarrassing works that your flesh man is known for. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, and isn't that the truth? Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Now here's a funny one. Sorcery. You see, back in the day when he wrote this, this might have been Witch Hazel throwing some eye of newt into a bubbling cauldron. But that's not what it means for you people. The Greek word is the word pharmakia. Guess what that means? That's the key word. Not smoking grass and coke and all this other yakety yak. Pharmaceutical drugs. Now, remember, if those who practice these things practice like a piano or practice your tuba or practice medicine, it's practice. Not someone that got a prescription because they were sick, but those that practice these things. Sorceries is pharmaceutical drugs. At the end of the book of Revelation, in chapter 9, I think it's verse 27, it's going to say that people in the world refuse to give up their translated sorcery. No, don't kid yourself. It's not eye of newt. It's not eye of newt. Their doctor prescribed drugs for them. That's why I am so vehemently against pharmaceutical drugs for a lifestyle. For a lifestyle. Not to get the pneumonia out of you, but for a lifestyle. Verse 20, he goes on with his list. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness. See, not someone that's been drunk.
You see, a drunk is a noun. Drunkenness is an adjective. When the adjective describes you, that's who he's talking about. A drunk. Are you known as a drunk? Not someone who has gotten drunk. Almost everyone has gotten drunk. You're not an outsider. You can't be saved if you've been drunk. But if there's no change in you after you've been born again, there's got to be some changes in you. You can't walk in this kind of stuff anymore you used to. You can't still be known as a drunk today. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. You shouldn't be known as that. If I made myself clear, we're not talking about going out and having a glass of wine or a beer. That's not where the Bible's not a dry book. But when these things describe you, the Bible puts drunkard right up here with wife beater or anything else.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I did not make it. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah. We will bow our hearts because we are free as we raise our hands to give you glory, Father of life and love. Infinite worth. We're delivered by blood that flows from the tree, draws near to you. Vessels of your mercy before the invention of man, glorious Trinity. We delight in